Okay, there we go. Okay, good afternoon to the regular meeting of the Citizens Oversight Committee acting as Citizens Finance Advisory Committee. We're calling a quorum right now. So we need a roll call with this.
Yep. Vice Chair Woody?
Yes.
Member Johnson?
Yes.
Member Dorfman?
Yes.
Okay. Quorum is established.
Okay. Just want to give me a moment. Okay, next on the next step of this is committee member
announcement.
Yeah, committee member announcements and presentations. Does anybody in the committee have any announcements or presentations today?
No.
You don't have any announcements today for us?
No, I wish.
You didn't bring us anything to eat today or anything? Well, there you go. Okay. The next item on the agenda then would be the Assistant City Manager Director update.
Thank you, sir. Steve Conway. I'd like to introduce myself. I think the committee members, you met me visually in COVID isolation last meeting, so I'm glad to be here in person. Just quickly introduce myself. I'm Steve Conway. I'm the Interim Administrative Services Director, Assistant City Manager. Been working since October with the city and really enjoying my tenure here with the city. I wanted to also introduce the staff I have with me. I have Emily Conrad, our finance manager, right next to my right, followed by I have Melissa Green, our senior budget analyst, and Erica is our account clerk three, and she will also be part of our team. So I want to give it a little update on our recruitment. Presently, this city is anticipating interviews for early February for the permanent position that will replace me. That is going well. We have some some pretty fine qualified candidates, and the city will be inviting them first week of February is the current plan for those first step of the in-person interviews. And I would imagine by the end of the month of February, there should probably have someone, or early March, have somebody new on board. Also, you have today before you the fiscal year 22-23 financial results for the use of the and revenues, a recap of the revenues from the Measure Q&E and also the expenditures. These are numbers that we believe are pretty close to final. They're subject to our final audit, but we believe they should be the numbers as reflected in the final audit. The committee will also be receiving a mid-year update scheduled for February of this year. Will we be bringing back any proposed budget adjustments for the current fiscal year 23-24 to the CFAC committee? And the committee will have a chance to weigh in on those. I also wanted to announce that, and I'm sure the committee is aware of this, but there will be a joint meeting with City Council next Tuesday. Which is, I know, something that the CFAC, as our last meeting, had expressed interest in that, and that has now been set up, and looking forward to the joint meeting next week. And my final bit of news is that we do have a 5 o'clock hard stop date for our meeting today. There's a planning commission at 5 o'clock, so we have about an hour and a half. That's my comments for the time being.
Well, that sounds great, and we'll make sure that we hit that 5 o'clock, toss us out at 5 o'clock, because we don't want to have to get into a street fight with the Planning Commission members. They'll come in here and toss us out, I'm sure, no doubt.
We're going to go into the next one.
Okay, so our next item on the agenda that we have here is opening up the floor for public comment. And at this point, I would like to do that, open up the floor, and for anybody listening or watching this live as well. And I'm not hearing or seeing anybody have a public comment on this? Okay.
Currently, we have no raised hands in Zoom.
Okay, sounds great. Then we'll go ahead and close the public comment. And at this point, we are now up to our consent calendar. And are there any items that members would like to pull for consent for discussion? If not, then can I have a motion to approve the consent calendar?
I move to approve the consent calendar.
And I will second.
And all in, should we roll call vote on that?
Vice Chair Woody?
Yes.
Member Johnson?
Yes.
And Member Dorfman?
Yes.
Okay, and that is the consent calendar approved. The next item we have is under Section B for business items, the review of the fiscal year 22-23 transactions from the collection of the general purpose local sales tax, commonly known as Measure E and previously Measure Q. This is a staff presentation, if you're ready.
Thank you, Vice Chair. I would like to introduce, once again, Melissa Green will start the presentation, and I would just please ask that if any of the committee members have questions at any point, please feel free to raise your hand and let us know you have a question on a specific slide that we're going to be discussing. So I'm going to turn it over to Melissa, and we'll of course all be available for questions.
Good afternoon. I am pleased to present the review of the Measure E expenditures for fiscal year 22-23. It's going to be really exciting stuff. Just to provide some background, Measure Q is a 1/2 cent transaction and use tax that was passed by voters in 2006. Measure E is a 1 cent transaction and use tax passed by voters in 2020. Bringing the combined tax to 1.5%. It is a general tax, unrestricted, and requires an independent finance advisory committee to review expenditures each year. There are defined priorities that are established by City Council back in April of 2021. We'll revisit these at the end of the presentation to kind of give you an opportunity to evaluate how our current and future spending is aligned with these priorities. But just to kind of cover really quickly, the priorities are investing in public safety services, including all of the staffing for Morro Bay Fire and police, as well as part-time harbor personnel. Maintaining and enhancing cleanliness and safety of public spaces, such as parks, waterfront, and the beaches. Investing in infrastructure and equipment with a priority on street paving, storm drains, and vehicle replacements. And then ensuring the financial health of the city by maintaining appropriate reserves. This is an overview of the adopted budget, which back in May of 2022, the revenue budget was set at about $4.3 million and expenditures at about $5.2 million. The bulk of the funding went to the capital improvement projects. And then also the other major percentage of funding went to personnel, mostly in fire, police, and harbor, but also some public works staffing, including consolidated maintenance workers. The budget was amended at mid-year to account for a pretty modest increase in revenue projections up to $4.4 million and the same amount increased for expenditures, and that was spread across police expenses and public works. So an overall summary for total revenues and expenditures, and we have a little bit of explaining to do on the budgeted revenues, but 85% of budgeted revenues were received and 98% of budgeted expenditures were spent, reducing our fund balance by $577,854. And I'm going to allow Ms. Conrad to explain a little bit of the that 85% number for the budgeted revenues.
Hi there. So we changed the way that we accounted for these revenues received. There's just a slight change so that we can align our records with the California Department of Tax and Fee Administration. So we actually received closer to 100% of this budget, but the difference was accrued back to prior year because that's when the taxes were actually earned. They were received later, but earned in the prior year. That made our records different from the California Tax and Fee Administration, and so we're going to, starting with this current fiscal year and forward, going to align our records with theirs. So that makes this 22-23 year look smaller than it actually was. Any questions on that? No? Okay, thank you.
I try not to pretend like I know what I'm talking about when it comes to accounting details. Okay, so looking at each program within Measure E, we're starting with the police department. 108% of budgeted expenditures, and the overage is a result of personnel costs, and this is directly related to overtime and other pay. Other pay is things that get paid out, such as any. Can you help me out on the different categories of things that get paid out? I'm blanking.
Yes. Things like incentives and hazmat pay, things like that for safety. And there could be, well, I don't think for Measure E, but I think that's it for Measure E.
I looked at it all this morning, and now I'm not wanting to tell you things that are not accurate. But anytime there's overtime, there are certain expenditures that increase along with it, such as certain benefits that are a percentage of pay. This is something that we're tracking a little bit more closely this year. Police included a reserve officer in the 23-24 budget. And part of the thinking there is that the overtime would be lessened because you would be able to account for that through regular pay for this reserve officer. So far in 23-24, it is tracking that way. Fire department is the same story. We have an overage due to overtime and other pay. This one is a little bit harder to nail down because we had we have, what's the word for, sorry, say it again, mutual aid. So our firefighters respond to other events and then we're reimbursed for that, but there's a delay in that reimbursement. And we've started tracking that differently this year, so this is another area that we think we're going to be able to stay on top of for 23-24. 100% of the budgeted fire station loan payoff was spent, and 101% of budgeted expenditures for public works. Again, this is salaries and pension costs, the primary factor for overspend. It wasn't significantly related to overtime in this case. Consolidated maintenance had 72% of budgeted expenditures, and personnel costs were under budget due to vacancies. 93% of budgeted street maintenance expenditures were spent as intended on sidewalk and curb repairs. 89% of budgeted expenditures were spent within the harbor department, mostly in personnel and disposal costs. 98% of budgeted expenditures within the beach lifeguard division were spent. Now we're in the individual projects. The local roadway safety plan received a budget amendment allocation. It was late in the fiscal year, $35,000 from another project that had been completed with surplus. So these the work has begun in this fiscal year, and you should be seeing expenditures at the end of 23-24. 87% of the citywide speed survey budgeted expenditures were spent. This is the project that had the $35,000 transferred to the local roadway safety plan. The remaining $5,730 is being used this fiscal year for some signage and striping improvements. 96% of Measure E budgeted expenditures were spent for the auto license plate reader camera system project. And again, the small balance on that is available for use this fiscal year. 23% of the budgeted expenditures were spent for the Highway 141 Main Street intersection project. There's $464,000 available for use this fiscal year. And this project has a reoccurring kind of a budget allocation of $600,000, and that's for this 22-23, 24-25, and 25-26 budget years.
I'm confused. So you're saying that the contractual service fees of $600,000 is for the next, did you say 3 years? I missed something here.
It's just letting you know that this funding will be repeated for the next several years. So $600,000 was allocated and transferred into this project in 22-23. In addition to what's remaining here, the that $464,000. Another $600,000 is planned for 23-24 to be transferred into the project. So it's just increasing.
But is it a project or is it consulting to get consultation on the project?
As budgeted currently.
Only because it's just such a big value, I feel like I'd like to walk forward with some comprehension.
It currently budgeted, it's sitting in the consulting services line, but typically when those expenditures start appearing, they will code them where they're, where it's appropriate. If there's $600,000 or $1 million worth of consulting work necessary for the project, that's where it'll go.
So let me just get that right. So there's a $600,000 allocation for a certain period of time, and that allocation can switch depending on what might have to happen with the project?
This is Steve Conway. I'd like to step in and help you with this one.
Yeah, please.
Okay, so how this works from the Q&E fund is that money is transferred. The $600,000 is budgeted, and it's moved from the Q&E, I would call it the operating fund, where we collect our revenues and spend our dollars for police, fire, whatever. Some of this money is, it's just an accounting thing, but it's transferred from one fund, one piggy bank to the other.
Sure.
This piggy bank for Highway 41 received a $600,000 transfer from the Q&E fund. That money sits in what we call fund balance until it's spent. And when we're using this term consulting services, that's
a broad categorization, but that could be geotechnical planning and design, all kinds of civil engineering.
Right.
There's various line items within consulting services.
Sure. So I guess my question is it's allocated for a $600,000 for the consulting part of the project?
So this project,
I understand the consulting part includes all that.
This project had a number of funding sources. I think there were three or four of them. It wasn't just Q&E monies. So when we establish a project, and let's say it's a $2 million project, $600,000 of that funding, total funding, could be from Q&E, another $400,000 from some sort of state transportation grant funding or whatever. So we have an amalgamation of funds that gets you to the $2 million, but we don't earmark specific in some cases we have to if it's a grant, but we generally wouldn't like earmark one specific expense with one specific funding source. It's viewed as a total. It's like if you had a project where,
sure,
you know, myself, Emily, and Melissa were funding it, each putting in $200,000. We wouldn't, if we've spent the money, we wouldn't say we're spending Emily's money first, then Melissa's. It's kind of that concept where the money's, once they're funded and put in the project fund, then that fund has that total funding available, and then those budgeted line items are then delineated. Okay, you have $2 million of total funding. How are you going to spend that? And that goes into in consulting, it could be in hard construction, you know, it's broken out, and so those two match. You'll have a total fund, and you'll have how the city intends on spending them, in what categories.
So you've allocated $600,000 to the front end of this project. There's going to be consulting, and none of that goes towards the construction of the project, right?
No, I believe we haven't done
dollars on that front end. How's that get reimbursed?
My understanding on this project at this point, I don't believe there's been a lot of hard construction. It's in a planning phase right now.
I'm very aware of the project.
So what's happening is, my understanding, because I did do my homework and I watched last year's presentation, my understanding is that this money is in fund balance for this project, and I believe there's a future matching requirement that this was the intention of this $600,000.
Yeah.
So I believe that those funds will stay, and what we do is we carry forward all the unexpended balances forward from year to year.
So I have this risk aversion things, and so given the nature of California's current financial situation, does that put us in any risk in terms of them being able to match their funds when that time comes? How does that work? How has that worked? Because we don't really have a model where California drops so many residents, so much income. So
yes.
I see it as a bit of a risk for our town, given the value of it, to get into it.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a good question. In my career, whenever I've worked in finance with matching funds, I've never encountered that where the matching funds were not delivered per the grant agreement.
They're guaranteed, and then Morrobay needs to perform its part on the front end with the getting the consultants in to tell them what it's going to be costing and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. You're welcome.
It does look like for the 23-24 budget,
right,
there's over $800,000 budgeted for consulting services on this project.
It seems like the city is working towards taking care of what it currently has, and we have a project that's to help us in the next 20 years, and the whole kind of cycle is shifting, and it just seems like the wrong time to go strong for all the population when this cycle's starting to shift. I don't know. Again, I'm very risk adverse. So that's the risk I see in this.
Thank you. I understand that.
Sure. Do we have any financial consultants that we're paying with this money to give us advice on whether we should do this financially? No, seriously, that might be prudent. I'm certainly not qualified, but normally a project, you have some advice on that.
I am not aware of any financial consultant on board with the city at this point. But Thank you for that suggestion.
We do have all of the accumulated transactions as an attachment to the report. They do list the names of the consultants that we've paid for that work this year. Moving on to the ADA accessibility upgrades at Quintana and Main project. 0% of budgeted expenditures were spent on this project this year, meaning $90,000 remains in the project's fund balance and available for future years. The update I have from Public Works on this is that it's still in the RFP phase. The project has been selected to receive $490,000 in grant funding from SLOCOG.
And just to be clear on that, so when it's not spent, we just roll it into the next fiscal year? Okay.
Yes. It won't necessarily show up, is that correct? It won't necessarily show up as future budget, but it's at the project's fund balance. So staff knows that it's available to spend. It will show up as to date in our budget book. It won't necessarily be added again in that future year. Pavement management CIP, we have 62% of budgeted expenditures spent, and that's about $500,000 that remains in that project's fund balance.
What's the reasoning behind that undershooting?
This project had a project balance from the prior year as well, so it was a sizable amount of money to spend in one fiscal year, and there, I believe in 23-24, we've already gone over this as well. So there is work on the project. It got delayed, I believe, because of storm impacts and things like that. It wasn't necessarily prioritized at a given point during last year, which resulted in that buildup of that project fund balance. Boat launch facility ramp replacement had 43% of budgeted expenditures spent on the project, with $73,505 remaining in the fund balance, and $80,000 of the original budget was reclassified by City Council for use on the emergency dock repairs project. And that project utilized 102% of budgeted expenditures, meaning the overage would come from the fund balance in the Harbor Capital Improvement Fund. And then an overall summary, just showing where we started at the beginning of the fiscal year. Adding on total revenue earned through 6/30, and then less total expenditures, leaving us with an unaudited ending fund balance of about $479,815. So again, this is your opportunity to review those priorities established by City Council back in 2021 and provide any feedback to staff regarding the alignment of the way we've actually been spending our Measure E funds and those priorities. So to kind of summarize, budgeted and historical expenditures by department. This is showing the last five fiscal years, including 23-24. And as you can see here, each color block represents the different areas, the different departments that we have budgeted. The bulk of that green non-departmental is capital improvement projects. Then there's public works in blue, fire in yellow, police in red, and harbor in the dark green. This is jumping ahead, but for 2024, the CIPs that have been funded include the active transportation plan, additional funding for the local roadway safety plan, trash can and recycling can replacements, sidewalk improvements, street tree replacements, and annual pavement management program. And here are those priorities again. The report itself also includes a table that shows the type of expenses by expense object, meaning the account. So it just takes it, instead of looking at by department like Harbor Police and Fire, you're looking at the actual accounts that we're spending from. So it just helps you see that the bulk of Measure E funding goes to both personnel services and the interfund transfers to capital improvement projects.
So the big change over the past few years seems to be that huge jump in the public works allocation from, or a huge aggregate amount, because...
So the 23 and 24 budget included additional public works staffing, including, I think the assistant planner is now budgeted. The majority of that position is budgeted out of Measure Q&E, so that accounts for part of the increase.
I guess I'm tracking that against those four goals, which are public safety, public spaces, infrastructure, and financial reserves. And it just seems that the public safety part doesn't seem to be tracking with the top financial priority there.
Again, I'm new with the city, so I don't have quite as much history, but from the research that I have done, I think that there was a deliberate attempt to staff personnel that would be implementing capital improvement projects, and that was the reason for that planner being budgeted out of Measure Q&E, and that's addressing that third infrastructure and equipment priority.
It'd be good to know what that actually translates into in terms of improvements. You say staffing, is it people that are doing actual projects, and what are those projects? Because it's hard to tell from those numbers.
The only other slide is just repeating staff recommendation, which is that we recommend that you approve the 22-23 transactions. And a reminder that the CFAC chair or a designee will be making a presentation to City Council before February 28th, 2024, regarding CFAC's review of Measure E. The other members of the committee may wish to provide input to that chair or a designee regarding that presentation.
Okay, so at this point, just as a reminder, we do have a meeting going on next Tuesday, with the City Council and CFAC, which all of us have been talking about for quite some time, and we finally got this to finally happen next week. It's, let me step in on this one real quick, having sat here for a little bit. One of the biggest issues that all of these boards have to deal with month after month, over and over, is a thorough understanding of what our role in this and what the City Council would like to see, because obviously the City Council sets the priority and the agenda for this community, no doubt. And in a lot of respects, since the priorities and the agenda for even this committee, planning commissions, and other types of committees that are out there, they ask us to do things from review these, review Measure E and Measure Q funds, you know, make sure everything's correct. And so next week, one of the things that I want to make sure we do talk about, and which I'm sure we will next week, is the priorities and what the City Council would like to see of us. Because the CFAC, I know, like every government agency, what's asked of us when we do this as members of the community always ebbs and flows year after year after year. Sometimes we go a little more this way, sometimes you want a little more this way. And I know that's one of the biggest items that have been discussed over cups of coffee and everywhere else, which is, what is the role of CFAC? Because we can sit here and get a presentation like this from city staff and simply say, okay, yes, the mathematics and the spreadsheets for Measure Q&E are mathematically correct. And we can say, yes, we looked at this and I got it on my calculator and it works. Great. Likewise, if that's what the city of Morro Bay and specifically the city council and the mayor wishes us to do. I will put this on Microsoft Excel and I will go through it. That's no problem. But likewise, if you're looking for a CFAC, and this is where it gets confusing sometimes, if you're looking for CFAC members to give an input on priorities, then we can do that as well. And I think that's something that we'll make for a good conversation next week when we finally do, in a very public way, talk about this. Because personally speaking, I look at it from a, I have a job to do. And my job is based on what we're told to do and what we're asked to do. And maybe sometimes even one comes to mind if you ask us to sit on an ad hoc committee to do something, to review something. You know, exactly what are you looking for us to do? And it doesn't matter to me because I know my role in this. If you point me to walk over somewhere and buy 3 cups of coffee and bring it to the next meeting, I'll make sure I do that. If you'd like us to give us very specific inputs over projects and the priorities of Q&E funds, that too. Or you could have CFAC go through this and go through the entire budget and say that, hey, you know, I know we're going a little more this way. Maybe we should be a little more concerned over, you know, what's going on with the budget with the state of California, in which you very well put, you know, which is, you know, what is going on with this. But that's where sometimes this can get confusing on CFAC. And I know I've talked to other members about this. Steve Peck and I have had long conversations over this, which is basically exactly what would you like from us? And we'll gladly do it. We really don't mind. And I know that's going to be on next week's agenda for the council and the mayor, which I really do look forward to. As far as a, the end of this report, in terms of the staff recommendation, we realize that CFAC will be making that presentation before the city council sometime before February 28th. I'm assuming that this meeting today and the next meeting next week, will those be the last meetings before the February 28th meeting, or do we have one more before that? And I can't remember. I can't remember when our next meeting is.
There's another CFAC meeting in February.
Before this, February 28th. Okay, good.
The February 28th date isn't necessarily the meeting date. It's the deadline for CFAC to provide its report.
Yeah, but we have another meeting before that.
Correct.
And I don't mean next week's meeting, but we have another meeting. Okay,
yeah.
That's
okay, good. Okay, good. Okay. That was all I had to say on this. So I do look forward to next week's meeting. I think that will help clarify a lot of things as far as the direction of what, you know, the city council, the city of Morro Bay, what you need from us. And just like I said, if you want to get up Microsoft Excel, I can do that. That's
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to add my comment that one of the things that the ballot measure, of course, it does seem a little perfunctory what, you know, I understand you're just looking in, as you said, sort of a spreadsheet. Well, here's where the money came in and where it went. But I think part of the intent of that is, like, had the money, it does require the city to report back, you know, how much was received and exactly where it went, how it was spent. And then that gives the CFAC that ability to say, well, that, you know, maybe question was, what was that in the real, was that a real priority or whatever? It's getting to that point of what you've just mentioned is your role in terms of setting your role and in terms of advising and helping the city set those priorities. Because I think what would be the ideal situation, of course, is that it's a total team effort where everybody's consolidated that these are the priorities. Council's in agreement, CFAC's in agreement, staff's in agreement. That would be the ideal. And that's kind of, so that's why I did ask that last slide to be incorporated, which is a little change, just to get, I know you, and I thought, it's probably a little preliminary because you'll probably be having that conversation next meeting. But that's why I had that slide in there on, you know, if you, you know, because coming in as staff here, we have a historical background of how money's been allocated, and it's been pretty consistent from year to year. Hasn't been a lot of changes, which has had a public safety aspect and some capital improvements, which are all in the ballot measure for infrastructure and that sort of thing. But if there were any changes or courses or slight changes or course directions, that's going to be not probably, that's going to be a combined effort of committee, council, staff to make those changes, and that's why we had that in there.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, recently in the past, a couple of us were, you know, working on an ad hoc committee, and there was, I think it's fair to say, there was a bit of misunderstanding over what was being asked of us. And I think that's a fair comment to say. And that became, it became frustrating for everybody, not just me and not just staff, but it became frustrating for everybody because in some respects, because there was no real clear, well, wait a minute, I thought we were doing this, and then somebody else is coming and saying, I thought we were doing that, and then all of a sudden we're asking for information and public information, and that information is not being provided, and to this very moment, it still hasn't been provided. Only about 70% of what we asked for was provided for, which I'm still confused over that, but we'll deal with that next week. And that is where the frustration comes in when you sit on a board like this. Is because, it's like I said, if what we need to do is go through this and say, yeah, the city council sets priorities, and we go through and said, yeah, I got out my calculator and it looks like all the numbers add up right in all the columns, that's fine. Or are you looking for our input on budget and projects and priorities, or just sharing, as Member Dorfman was pointing out, financial concerns that. Potentially, where are things going financially in this state? But I'm sure that's a lot of what we'll talk about next week. And because that's the number one thing that always goes wrong with government is government works when we're all doing the right thing. Because honestly, I will say it 1,000 times, we have the right staff, the right people, the right elected officials. We got the right people on boards like this. But sometimes miscommunications can take place. And gosh darn it, that's when it gets frustrating for everybody in the community. So hopefully we can iron some of that out next week.
Can we open it to questions or comments?
I have a small comment. Okay. Sometimes I think I got in the wrong room. I'm really revenue-based, and it seems like I show up to meetings and it's always expenditures. Not that there isn't revenue. It's like, oh, we got this from that. And we have a gem. Obviously, Morro Bay is something else. So I don't know where that room is, but it'd be nice to see where that is. It just seems, since I've been here, it's always about expenditures.
Thank you. You're right. The report pretty much focuses on the amounts collected for this particular revenue, the Q&E revenues, and then how they were expended. So we haven't broadened it to the total revenue picture.
Well, no, specifically Q&E revenue itself as a conversation.
Oh, okay.
But just because, again, building up Morro Bay is really exciting for me. The expenditure part is I see as a byproduct,
gotcha.
Spend it type thing. But no, certainly the revenue through Q&E, absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
In fact, I think it was mentioned that there was a sales tax decrease of 9.5%, and that had an impact. So these are kind of the bigger picture issues of, we're kind of on that same trend at this point in terms of the economy. So there's a role for kind of proactive measures to look at not getting deeper into a hole, just look at ways that, potentially, again, with the city council and city manager, look at how those sources might be increased.
Are there any other comments from anybody, or any comments from staff or anything on this? I'm not really clear if there's an actual particular action item on this one, or if we're just accepting the staff report.
I do think we are looking for a motion to approve the detailed transactions report.
Okay.
And then if there's any specific feedback that you are wanting to recommend that the chair take back to council in the annual report.
I think for me, and obviously Chris, to the two of you as well, the one thing that I'd like to see is, you know, just making sure, and I think this will go back into next week's meeting, is understanding the clarity of what exactly we need to do for the council, which I think all of us are proud to serve this and proud to do this, and do it with a lot of honor. But just making sure that we do have some level of clarity over what we are being asked to do on our side. That would be really the biggest thing. Anything you'd like to add to this? Or?
I agree.
Okay. So with that, then we're looking for a motion to go ahead and accept the report that we were just presented with.
I make a motion to accept the report we were just presented.
I second that motion.
And obviously with the, you know, little comments that, you know, we look forward to next week's meeting. We think it'll be very productive for everybody in this community. So if we can have a roll call on that motion.
Vice Chair Woody?
Yes.
Member Johnson?
Yes.
Member Dorfman?
Yes.
Motion passes 3-0.
Okay. Okay, moving on, we're going to future agenda items. Is there any staff comments on this, on future agenda items, or anything as such?
This is just anything that you would like to recommend we bring back on a future agenda.
Is there anything members of this committee would like to see on a future agenda for probably the February 20th meeting coming up?
It seems like next week we're going to find out.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Anything?
Nothing.
Okay. And I don't either. And I get a little concerned over, you know, doing too much with this because I know there's only three of us here and Steve Peck's not here, who's a brilliant mathematical mind with all this kind of stuff. So, no, there's not going to be any future agenda items we're going to be putting on there at this point. So item D, scheduling the next meeting for February 20th, 2024. Is that going to be at 3 or 3:30? Or do we know?
It should be at 3 o'clock.
At 3 o'clock, okay. Okay. So that is done. I don't think there's any other items on this agenda. So do we need a motion to adjourn or just call for an adjournment? Okay. So the time is, I've got 4:22. So 4:22, we'll be adjourning the meeting then. Okay. Thank you so much for everybody.